Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk this morning on treasure to share. That's the title. I'm going to be talking on the Father's love. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair." And maybe some of you can resonate with that a little bit. Life isn't always straightforward and easy, but there's a treasure inside. And then in Ephesians 3, part of Paul's prayer for the church, he says this, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." When I've been sharing over the last few months, actually, and even from August, September time, I was saying to people when they were coming to share, you know, have in mind the pavilion. Not in the sense it's all about the building, but have in mind preparing hearts, preparing the church, that when we end up down there in that new building, we're not just going to be having a service there on Sundays, but we're going to be motivated by God to make a difference in that part of Reading. And so as I shared last week on the presence of God, so essential, so important for us to take his presence and to transmit his presence out in that area. And today I want to just touch on the Father's love. And so important for us to have received his love that we might give it away too. But Paul's prayer here talks about four areas really. Number one, he says he prays that Christ may dwell in our hearts. That's what I was touching on last week, that sense of his presence in us and with us. And as we were praying in the prayer meeting this morning, I think it was Heather said, you know, sometimes, Lord, we don't know that you, we don't feel that you're there, but we always know that you're there. And that's great, isn't it? Because God promises never to leave us. But also carrying that sense of his presence can really enable us to touch others that we meet in. And we touched on that last week. Paul says here, he prays that we will have power to grasp, to understand his love. It's beyond our knowledge. So it's a revelation thing, it's a spiritual thing. It might have to start in the head, but somehow or another, that understanding gets transmitted to the heart, that incredible love of the Father for this world and for us as his children. It's a revelation of the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on about talking that we might to know his love, that we might experience his love. Not just a knowledge, but that we experience his love. We know that as sons and as daughters, we are loved by a Father. We're safe, we're secure, because God is our Father and we're his children. And we experience that love. I think for some people, for them, grace is cheap. In the sense that I've heard people even say to me in the church here, you know, well, God just forgives me, so it doesn't matter if I get drunk one night, he forgives me, hallelujah. You know, it doesn't matter if I blaspheme or if I do this or if I do the other, because God's a God of grace and he forgives me, hallelujah. Well, that's partly true. He's an incredible God of grace. But when we really understand the price that it paid, when we really understand what sin, how it affects God, and the cost that there was there, that we might receive his love and his mercy, then we begin to understand that incredible love which he has towards us. I was thinking of that, well, I'll refer to that later. I was thinking somebody like John Newton, who was extreme, I realize, but he was a slave trader. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But then he came to understand the love of Jesus. And he wrote that incredible hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." He was extreme, but he realized that all of that sin, all of that bad stuff was forgiven because of the incredible love of Jesus when he died on the cross. Now, I'm sure none of us in this room would be on that level of John Newton. But whatever that area of sin, disappointment, hardship, iniquity, wrong in our lives, he's forgiven too. And we don't need to remain there. We can experience his love. And then lastly, of course, he says, and as we experience his love, we are filled up with the fullness of God. Isn't that amazing? It comes through experiencing his love. His spirit releases that fullness of God in our lives. And then when we're down in the town centre, then when we're in the courts, then when we're in the schools, then when we're wherever we might be, that love of God can be shed abroad in our hearts. I want to read an article from the Daily Mail. I'll go back and pick that up in a minute. I want to read an article from the Daily Mail. I was asking the Lord, I'm not absolutely certain what to bring this week. And I was feeling about this love of God. And I felt it was confirmed on Thursday night. I'll refer to that later. But then I was reading this article as I was preparing my talk on Friday. And it says this: a father's love is as important to a child's emotional development as a mother's, a large-scale study has confirmed. Examining the cases of more than 10,000 sons and daughters revealed how a cold or distant father can damage a child's life, sometimes for decades to come. Researcher Professor Ronald Rohner said that fatherly love is key to development and hopes his findings will motivate more men to become involved in caring for their offspring. In the United States, Great Britain, and Europe, we have assumed for the past 300 years that all children need for normal, healthy development is a loving relationship with their mother, he said. But that belief is fundamentally wrong. We have to start getting away from the idea and realize that dad's influence is as great and sometimes greater than the mother's. Crucially, a father's love was often just as important as a mother's. In some cases, it was even more so. One reason for this may be the rejection, that rejection is more painful when it comes from the parent the child regards as more powerful or respected. And the professor went on to say how it affects our personality and development. Children who feel unloved tend to become anxious and insecure, and this can make them needy. Anger and resentment can lead them to closing themselves off emotionally in an attempt to protect themselves from further hurt. This may make it hard for them to form relationships. They can suffer from the low self-esteem and find it difficult to handle stressful situations. I thought I was reading here from a book on the father's love. I thought I was reading here from a Christian book about the importance of fathers, but the importance of God the Father and his love for us. But this was a secular writer looking at 10,000 cases and realizing that mum and dad are both best, children are brought up best with both mum and the dad around. And the father is really, really important in that upbringing. And all of that pain and that hurt and I realize that there could well be some here who've experienced that too, can often be because the love of a father has been absent. This week we had a visit from Lena and Carolina, pastors of second biggest church in Sweden. And it's a privilege for us to be connected to them. We spent a couple of days together. We chatted about the vision, about LifeSpring. They had a look at the pavilion. Went to London, visited Tamrat, had a nice lunch there, made by Sunlight. Went to Primark. We loved Primark. Hour and a half later, I dragged Jackie and Carolina out of Primark. While Lena and I went to buy a suitcase to take all the stuff home that was being bought. But we had a good time together. We laughed together. And it was just like, you know, when relationships become friendships, is how it's meant to be, isn't it? And it was lovely just to spend time with them. And then on Thursday evening, they met with our 12s and shared very simply, but very profoundly. And Carolina was talking about a recent trip to India. And in India, they've planted 5 slum schools, reaching out to 600 children. And they want to plant many, many more. And she was just ministering the love of God. This is among mainly Hindu, but Muslim population areas, really. So not heard so much about the love of our God, of the Christian God, of Jesus. And she was ministering to the children there, and on one occasion towards the end of the meeting, she just gave the opportunity for anybody that has felt unloved by their parents maybe or by their families, you know, if you'd like to come forward, and I would just like to embrace you and minister the love of God. And she said there was such a big queue of little children coming forward just to receive a hug of affection and affirmation from Carolina. I wasn't surprised. That's India. But then they went on to say, when we came home to Stockholm, we were invited to take the youth service. And we were talking about, they said they were talking about our lives and the lessons that we learned through growing up and this, that, and the other. And then towards the end of their chat, she said, you know, if there's anybody here who would like a hug from a teddy bear, and she looked at her husband, some think I should be a teddy bear, but I'm not quite the right shape, I don't think. He's closer to it. But if anybody would like, you know, to experience the Father's love afresh tonight, why don't you come forward? And they did it a different way to how we would normally do it. It was, Lena is going to hug the women, and Carolina was going to hug the men. And they were going to receive the parents' love afresh in their hearts. She said the meeting started at 7, and at 1 o'clock we finished. As children queued up, young people queued up. Pastor Leonard's shirt, she said it was stained with mascara and it was wet with tears as people just came and received the hug of a father. And it really spoke to me. That was church. That's in Stockholm, first world country. The children were just as desperate, just as starved of love as those little children there in India. And as I was thinking about what God was calling us to be and to do, I was thinking, church, we've got something precious and special to give away, but we need to receive it too, the love of the Father. Because out there in society, there are so many that have not known love from natural fathers. But God is the Father who wants to bring his love into their lives too. And I was reminded of a quote from Bill Johnson. We were at a conference earlier this year, and I wrote this down. He said, Jesus' main role to an orphan planet is to reveal the Father. And my little head went round all sorts of things. What about kingdom? What about souls? What about this? What about that? But at the end of the day, that's all an expression of the love of the Father. Jesus' main role to this orphan planet. And you know, it's becoming more and more of an orphan planet. His main role is to reveal the love of the Father. And guess who's called to do that? He's finished his work. He's in heaven. He's sitting at the throne. His arms are crossed and his probably legs are crossed, waiting for us, his body, on earth, to complete that work which he started. Hallelujah, what a privilege which we have. Too many have never known their father's love and affirmation. Too many parents never knew their father's love and affirmation, and so they don't know how to give it to their children. And we'll find on the streets of the Oxford Road an orphan generation desperately wanting, needing love and affection. We'll find young children, most probably not even living with their biological dad. I remember a shocking statistic. One school teacher told me 90% of the children in this class or in this school aren't living with their biological dad. If they have a dad at all. We'll find older ones angry and resentful, unable to respond to authority and authority figures because of the way they've been treated or neglected. Maybe there will be young women not really knowing how to behave, attracting attention the only way they know how, all because they desperately need to be loved and valued and affirmed for who they are. Guess who's going to be the answer? Guess who's going to be the answer to this orphan generation? It's the Church of Jesus Christ. The local church is the hope of the world. Us together with others have an incredible opportunity to reveal and to express the love of a father to an orphan generation. I have an ambition. I thank God for 25 years of being a leader here at LifeSpring. But I have an ambition to remain here at LifeSpring. Sorry about that for some. Hope that's okay with others. But, you know, at some time, I'm not going to be fronting this show. There's going to be others coming up and leading. But I want to be a father here. In fact, I want to be a grandfather. Because if fathers produce sons, grandfathers produce fathers. And I want LifeSpring to be full of fathers. Fathers who've received the love of God. Fathers who can give away the love of God to their new, unborn yet, spiritual sons and daughters, which need to know that God loves them. He's got a plan for them. He's got a purpose for them. And I don't want to be fronting this all the time, but I want to be there somewhere, just bringing that fatherly role into the church, because churches need fathers. Even Paul said, you've got many leaders, many teachers, but few fathers. Let's break that. Let's break that. Let's be a church that becomes full of fathers, that we can bring the love of God to the church and to those we're going to come in touch with. We all need to know God as our Father. But we need older, wiser men and women. We need grandmothers too, because they are gold in the church. They are part of the answer to a fatherless society. Matthew 13:44. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The treasure, or the pearl, the heart of Jesus, his dream for you. And it's so special and it's so precious. You need to sell everything you can to get hold of the heart of Jesus, to get hold of his dream for you. You see, he's called us, we're not just servants working for a boss. He's called us to be sons. He's called us to be daughters. He's chosen us, adopted us, redeemed us, cleansed us, forgiven us. He's called and chosen you and me to work with him, to reveal his love to a hurting world. That's why Paul prays that we know how wide, how high, how deep, and how long is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that's the pearl. That's the treasure which he's called us to. You see, it's foundational and fundamental. If we can't grasp his love or experience it, how can we ever give it away? You know, that is the trouble in society. Children have never received the love of a father. They don't know how to give a father's love away, even when they become fathers, because they never received it in the first place. But church is going to make a difference. We're going to break that. And we're going to show people and help people as we receive the love of God. Then we can give it away to others too. And we can be good news, very good news, to those who've never experienced him or his love. This treasure, this pearl, is worth sharing, isn't it? And the incredible privileges, each one of us can receive that. We can receive it in order to give it away. Paul says, for we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We have this treasure. Life might be difficult and challenging, but we have a treasure. The knowledge, the assurance of his love. Life may be as tough as others. We may be under pressure. We may have our struggles. But deep down, we need to know that we are loved. Deep down, we need to know we'll never be abandoned. Deep down, we need to know we're accepted and secure in a father's love. And this assurance, this witness, will spill out to others. You see, I believe God wants us to know his favor, Yeah, I'm not expecting bad stuff to come into my life or into your lives. But when bad stuff does come, and it does come, it comes to us all, when it does come, the test is, how are we responding in the midst of that testing? And if we go down the tubes, then we're just no different from anybody else without faith. But even if in those difficult times and those pressures and those struggles, we're able to keep our head above water with all the questions of why and don't understand this, that, and the other, but secure in knowing that God loves us and God's got his hand on my life, then we can win through. And we have a testimony to show and to tell others. When Pastor Leonard and Carolina's daughter, 26-year-old daughter, died 2 or 3 years ago, he was able to say, I've never even asked why, because I trust in my father, in my God as my father. I was amazed at that. Never even asked why. Because there wouldn't be an answer, would there? How could you ever explain? But he trusted in God as his father. When I was 19, I had a powerful experience of the Holy Spirit. And do you know what? The immediate manifestation upon me wasn't tongues, that came later. The immediate manifestation was to hug and embrace anybody that I could get hold of. I wanted to worship the Lord. Beforehand, it was just songs were songs, and it was just over my head. But then God touched my heart, and love was released, and a connection was made. And I remember thinking, as I look back now, I must have felt awkward, I must have looked awkward and self-conscious, but there was treasure in here which was leaking out. The Lord had filled me with his Holy Spirit, and it was like his love needed to be shed abroad in my heart. And I remember as an awkward little 19-year-old just wanting to hug anybody that I could find. And the next time there was a worship service, I was out there just wanting to express my love and my worship. Why? Because I'd received something of the Father's love inside of me, and I wanted to give it away. And when Carolina was sharing about India, I was thinking, as I said earlier, about our ministry at the Pavilion. Because we have that treasure to share, the incredible love of a father. We'll be touching hurting families, hurting children. We'll be reaching out to the hurting men and women. And they all need to know that God loves them. And we have a gospel to share and we have hope to bring. You may have been rejected by your families, by society, by your neighbors. But God loves you too. And my prayer is, as a church, we get ready to be a blessing as we go down to that building. But in order for us to give the love of God, we've got to receive the love of God. So we need to go for this pearl. Sell all your other little pearls. Get hold of this pearl at a great price. The love of the Father for us. And our message from the Pavilion will be very simple. Come as you are. Come to the Pavilion. A place of refuge and shelter. You're welcome. He doesn't want you to stay as you are. He wants you to know and experience his love and salvation which he has for you. There's purpose in life. There's a hope for the future. The enemy might want to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come to bring abundant life. This will be our message because we'll be living it. We'll be receiving it. It'll be flowing out from us. And if we're going to take this message out, we need, with integrity, we need to be healed ourselves. You and Marion said last week, bless her, thank you for the testimony, Marion. You know, that you've been trying to be happy, and maybe some of us here are trying to be happy. That needs to change. It's his love in our hearts. It's his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. And if we're not experiencing his presence of love and joy and peace, we've got nothing to give. You can give some words, but they are meaningless if it's not backed up with an overflow of the Holy Spirit. And as people come in, they experience love. They experience joy. Circumstances might not change immediately. They might not understand what's happening. Maybe the Holy Spirit will come upon them and they'll start laughing. I'm not even saved. I don't know. But as he comes, and as people come into that environment, they'll be touched by the Lord, and they'll be able to receive this incredible, abundant life which he has for us. But we need to be healed ourselves. And this is my prayer, this is the reason for the message. We need to be healed of rejection and insecurity. We need to, when we know his love, insecurity will go. His love casts out fear. Some of us have fears in our life. He needs to, when he comes, he casts out fear. When you experience his love, and I'm not talking about a one-off thing. This is ongoing experience. When you experience his love, acceptance and acceptance, rejection is defeated. But we need to receive it from him. I'm going to let you down. Your cell leader is going to let you down. Your husband, your wife, your father, your mother, they will let you down. But he will never let you down. We need to receive his love in order that we can give it away. John says, we love because he first loved us. In other words, when we get it, when we realize how much he loved us just as we were, in our badness, in our selfishness, in our immorality and in our rebellion, in our bad mouthing, he loved us. He loved us. John says, we love because he first loved us. When we realize how much he loved us, then we can begin to love too. There was a prostitute, gate crashed a dinner party with Jesus. Actually, Rob, can we come finishing in a moment if you come and start some music? He gate crashed a dinner party. The host was a very respectful pillar of society. Actually, he didn't go overboard at all, probably didn't even give the minimum that a host would be expected to give to Jesus, because Jesus was just another rabbi. There was no extra respect shown or given. He didn't really get Jesus, certainly didn't love Jesus. Then this woman, a prostitute, she sold all her money. She gave away all her money to buy a bottle of perfume and to bring to Jesus, and she worshipped him. You see, she knew the darkness of her life. She knew the mess of her life. But she knew that Jesus had forgiven her, that Jesus had cleansed her, that Jesus had died for her, and that he'd saved her. She knew that there was healing from all of the past. She didn't need to live as she felt in the past. She had to live. And we're going to find women like this as well in this particular area of Reading. But she came to Jesus and she thought it was worth spending £25,000 or whatever the equivalent was in buying this perfume, a year's wages, and just pour it on the feet of Jesus. You see, we love because he first loved us. And like that woman, when we realize what he's done for us, we'll love back too, because he's done everything that needed to be done. And Jesus said to her, your sins, which have been many, have been forgiven. He who has been forgiven little, like the Pharisee, loves little. And I'd go on to say, he who has been forgiven much, loves much. But what I found interesting was, so I was looking at that verse. We love because he first loved us. And I thought, I'm going to look this up in another translation. And another translation put it this way, which I haven't got it written out there. In the New Living Translation, it says this: we love each other because he first loved us. And this was just coming back and just making sense to me. We love each other because he first loved us. When we've received that Father's love, yes, we'll want to worship. Yes, we want to give our money to the building and tithes and serve the Lord as much as we can. But when we receive the Father's love, we will love each other too. And his love will touch other lives and we'll give it away. We're being offered treasure. We're being offered a pearl. We can't give away what we don't have. So Jesus says, sell everything you can to get hold of it. And today I'm seeing that pearl, that treasure, as a picture of the Father's love. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his acceptance. Enjoy his mercy and favor. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation for those which have come to him. It's his love. Meditate on his love. Read scripture about his love. Read books. Pray. Sow. Go to conferences. Come to the front. Do whatever you need to do. But get hold of his love. Because he's died that you might receive it and that we might give it away. And then our ministry from the pavilion will be good news. Then the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts to the local community. Our ministry, our outreach, our interaction with the local community will be touched by his love because we've received something from him which we can give to others. LifeSpring will be a church. The pavilion will be a place where lives are changed because his love is being received and we're giving it away to others. What an incredible opportunity. What an incredible privilege we have. But we need to receive in order to give it away. And that's what God wants to give us. This pearl, this treasure in our hearts. That we can share it with others. And that he can be glorified. Through the church and in this town. Amen.